Now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
You're such a romantic doing Italy. You and the wife in Rome.
Oh, well, when in Rome.
So guess what I'm doing? I got a Cubs hat for the Pope.
This is a very, very bad idea.
You're going to hang with the Pope and give him a Cub hat?
Well, I don't think I'm going to get to see the Pope, but I'm actually bringing him a Cubs hat with my business card to ask him to please bless the Chicago Cubs.
In the history of bad ideas, this is a humdinger.
Don't do this.
Why?
The Pope doesn't care about the Cubs or baseball or who wins.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, come on. Let's say the Pope got back to you and said it'll be done this year and the Cubs won the whole thing. Would you make the move?
Make the move to what?
You could convert.
No. I'm not giving up my faith. Sorry.
And now, here are the headlines. Pope actually found to be Jewish.
If somebody came and said, Cappy, World Series this year, you just, you know, you got to give up the matzo ball. You got to make a move.
No.
You're getting older, buddy. You might have to make a deal at some point here.
So what do you say? Turn your library card? You stop being Jewish?
Shomer Shabbos!
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago! Bolchek scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going to ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap and Haw on the air on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. I'm David Kaplan. David Haw off on vacay. Enjoy it, D-Haw. Mark Carmen sitting in that seat. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning, Cappy.
Nice to talk to you. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer. Matthew W. Rooney, I think it's W, is our associate producer. Brett Fisher in for the off PG-13, who's busy with other assignments.
Love you, Pat. Miss you.
Directing. So, anyway, lots to do on the program today. Crane Kenny, president of Cubs Business Operations, will join us to tell us who the heck Alien Ant Farm is.
Did he hire Alien Ant Farm?
I never even heard of him. I mean, like, I'm pretty good at least saying I've heard of them. I know about that. I try and read all the time. Never heard him. There's no shot Alien Ant Farm should ever be singing the stretch at Wrigley.
Riverside, California, Alien Ant Farm was conceived, I believe, if you will, in 1995.
So it's not even a Chicago band.
No, name comes from an idea from the original guitarist Terry Corso, who I'm sure was a part of that seventh inning stretch last night.
Lee's kid?
Perhaps. You might have that college football cachet. It was just my daydream about our planet being seeded by entities from other dimensions.
And we need him to sing at Wrigley.
Entities from other dimensions. And now.
Gotta be kidding me.
Alien Ant Farm.
No. I was at the game last night, and no. Alien Ant Farm shouldn't be singing. It should be Harry on the Jumbotron, or Ronnie Santo, or Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Fergie Jenkins, one of the legends. That's it.
John Lester.
John Lester was magnificent. We'll talk about that. So Crane joins us 9:55. Ryan McGuffey, CSN Chicago, is all over both sides of town with all the different features that he puts together. He's going to talk White Sox baseball with us. And then Scott Paddock, president of Chicagoland Speedway, will drop by for GabFest around 11:10.
Tough one last night, Cap. You're talking about a game that was winnable and first and third and nobody out. And seemingly your heart of the order coming up. Of course, the heart of the order had just passed through. Miguel Montero's not a four-hitter. Had an okay season. I'm not trying to take that away from him, but he strikes out. And then an incredible play by the St. Louis Cardinals' Colton Wong. And then things go sideways in the top half. This was a game that had a little bit of a playoff feel out there last night, right? You were there. I wasn't in the park. Would you say it felt that way? It seemed like it was just a drop. No?
That it was...
A little bit of a heightened moment in the season. You didn't feel that at all?
No.
Really?
Thought it was just another Cubs-Cardinals game. Good environment.
Okay.
It was
I mean,
cool.
You were there. I was watching on TV. And
it was cool. But it was Cubs-Cardinals. I expected nothing less.
Okay.
White Sox come back, get some help from some shoddy defense by the Blue Jays. Outstanding pitching from Chris Sale, although he does not set the all-time record for double-digit strikeout games in a row at 9. He strikes out 6. Complete game for him and for Mark Burley, who had to go for an MRI after the game on his ankle. But the White Sox come back and beat the Jays 4-2. Blue Jays lose. Sox win 5 out of 6. Got to keep the roll on tonight.
I nearly watched the entire White Sox game during the Cubs rain delay. I mean, it was an under 2 hour game.
Yep.
I'm going DVR watching, going flipping through, no commercials. I almost had it in the entire rain delay.
Couple challenges in there too.
Yeah. Well, I went right through those. That was not even a remote chance. I was sitting through the challenge. That's the beauty of the DVR, right? Burley and Sale, both just getting the ball and firing.
Would you like Major League Baseball if you knew every game was $1.57?
No question. And I mean, for me, I like watching games after they've happened or like starting in the middle. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, not me. I like live sports.
I mean, it's live to me.
I don't want to watch the Bulls play a playoff game and go, yeah, it's already over. I'll watch it on DVR.
If I don't know who won, I don't feel any different. I'm equally nervous if my heart's in it. And the only thing that I miss is I like being a part of the Twitter community when it's going on. That's a big miss. But it saves me a lot of time. And last night was incredible. I mean, I'll tell you what, people dogging Robin. The White Sox are playing with a lot of fervor right now. That team is, there's no give up over there.
Nope.
Very excited group of White Sox ball players. Melky Cabrera is pumping his fists. Chris Sale's dealing. I'm not saying that they're going to get back in the race, but they certainly haven't. They're not waving the white flag over there, the players, right now. And that would be embarrassing, obviously, if they did. But I think there's some belief. I really do. From the White Sox in that clubhouse. That's
belief. I wouldn't say. I would say no quit. Yes, belief. What are they believing in? They're still tied for last.
Hold on. They're now tied, not in sole possession.
Like I said, tied for last.
Okay, I think they believe they could get back in it. I really do. I'm not saying they can or cannot.
I doubt that.
You think that they're just like the season's over?
I think down deep they're like we're not catching.
Well, we got a long way to go. I'm sure they feel that way too. But listen, They're playing a lot better as of late, 5 of 6 now. And last night, that was a game that could have easily gone the other way. And I mean, Jose Reyes made a huge error that opened up the door in the eighth inning. But they came back and got Mark Burley, who was phenomenal.
They were both good.
Burley, by the way, Portillo's before the game.
Yeah, he talked about his lunch. How about Don Cooper on Sports Talk Live yesterday saying that Mark Burley was drinking in the dugout before he got the save in Game 3 of the World Series in 05.
That was incredible. I got the late call for Sports Talk Live yesterday, came to the rescue.
Right, we were supposed to do the show out at U.S. Cellular.
Right.
The rains came, so we scrapped those plans, and the great Kevin Cross, our news director, Tom Cooper, Danny Wysocki, put their collective heads together and said, get off the red line, take the brown line, get down here. So I did and got back to the station.
You actually did do the L thing yesterday.
I did.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
On multiple levels. One, you took my advice. Two, you actually rode public transportation.
I literally went and worked out after our show, jumped in the car after I took a shower, ran up to Wrigley, parked my car in my spot, walked in the rain in a suit back to the red line, took the red line one stop to Belmont. Got off change, got on the brown line because they called me while I'd just gotten on the red line. Scrap U.S. Cellular because the red line would have taken me all the way there. Took the brown line.
So you literally just got on because you went one stop and they said, no, come on. Come on back, Cappy. We want you in the studio.
Correct.
We're calling Carmen Friedel and Burnfield. Not in that order.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that's how it works out sometimes. But I'm glad you were,
it was a regular old commuter. People are like, you don't take the L? No. I live in the suburbs. Where am I taking the L?
I had a major growth in my adult life today, by the way, because it was raining this morning, but I was going to be down here all day, and I didn't have a parking spot, so normally I ride the L to come in. But today it was raining. And normally when it's raining, I'm walking in the rain, I'm getting drenched. But today I like searched through the deepest floor of my closet and I found the umbrella and I walked outside and I had the umbrella like an actual adult. I never have the umbrella. I walked with the umbrella, stayed moderately dry.
You're 41 years
old. I know. I'm telling you, this was a big moment for me to actually have the umbrella. I never have the umbrella. Today, umbrella. White and blue. some gift from somebody probably laying around here from, I don't know how I had this umbrella, but I knew there was an umbrella somewhere in there under a stack of hats, underneath some glove that I haven't
you
worn.
Are just a complete loser.
I'm going umbrella. I'm not driving.
Jekyll. Is he not a loser that at 41 he's celebrating that he got an umbrella?
I'm telling you, it's the first time I've ever worn the umbrella, Jekyll.
If you know Amar Kerman, this does not surprise me at all. And yes, of course he's a loser. I mean, I've known him for 4 years, though. But I love him.
Thanks,
yeah,
Jekyll.
We love him.
Thank you.
We have three All-Stars in town.
I was proud of myself,
man.
I'm
trying to go. Yeah, we got three All-Stars in town.
Oh.
Anthony Rizzo, Christopher Sale, and surprisingly, he's played well, I just wasn't sure he'd get there, Chris Bryant.
That was surprising, and Jake Arrieta should have been the fourth. That guy deserved to go.
And you never know what pitching injury we have this week that gets him to the All-Star game.
Right. He deserves to be there. Bryant, I was surprised by, but, you know, he was injury replacement. I guess he deserves to be there. Still's got to work on that third base situation.
And look, let me just be honest with you. Everyone, we had Steve Phillips on last week. He said, trade Schwarber and everything else to get Cole Hamels and go for it and the whole deal. No. After watching the Cubs last night, this is not the year. I said at the start of the year they would not make the playoffs. They may get there as the wild card. I would not mortgage my future to get Cole Hamels. Would not.
Neither would I, but I'm not.
Not enough offense there.
I'm not willing to say.
Just these are young players that need seasoning.
Interesting.
I just don't think it's there.
It was interesting what John Lester said. We can do that, by the way, coming up here if you want.
Yeah, we can also talk about Tim McCarver, who's just ridiculous. Or Jarrett from Subway. Jarrett from Subway had a
good
bad
Lord.
Morning. Bad morning in Zionsville. Is that Indiana or Ohio or where?
Who didn't know that guy had something going on, honestly?
Allegedly. Get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in the app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228, for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's app, A-B-T. App.com asks for the great Steve Shapiro, app-pleasing people, since 1936. Quick time out, be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
I'm taking time. Welcome on. The famous ball game is over.
What a performance by Chris Sale. He didn't get the all-time record for consecutive 10 strikeout games, but this was a splendid performance against a team that could really hit.
No, not at all. I mean, it's one of those things. It's cool, it's fine, but we won the game, so I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pout at all.
There you go, Christopher Sale, outstanding last night. Did not get the record in the 4-2 White Sox win of double-digit strikeout games, but he did best Mark Burley, and the Sox win their fifth win in six games. So a really, really solid effort out of both starters. But it was a really good night. It was a quick, snappy night. They didn't have to deal with weather delays like the Cubs did. But we saw really good starting pitching on both sides of town. Lester takes a no-no into the seventh. You got Sale and Burley, and John Lackey shuts out the Cubs. So starting pitchers brought their A game on both sides of town last night.
It was a great crowd on the south side last night. It was actually, I thought, rarely do I believe that people actually buy tickets to see any one player, even if it is Chris Sale or Mark Burley coming back. But clearly, that's what went on last night. For a White Sox-Blue Jays game on a Monday night to have, what did they have in the building last night? It was 24,593. I mean, that's decent for a Monday night. I thought the atmosphere on the south side last night was fairly impressive, particularly where the White Sox are at the standings, right? I mean, you had 25,000 on a Monday night for a last-place team, not bad. And it lived up to it, every bit of it. Bring him back, by the way. Free agent at the end of the year. He absolutely should come back here.
Burley?
Yes. Don't you think?
How old is he?
Not young. Hang on, I'll
36? How many years you signing him for?
Three. At least
3-year deal for a 36-year-old guy, and how much money?
10, 12, 15?
No shot. No shot. First of all, the White Sox don't need another left-handed starter. Sorry.
Forget about the lefty-righty stuff.
They don't need another starter.
Hold on a second. Burley is 36 years old. He's making $20
million. When will he be 37?
If we want to get that in depth on a Mark Burley, hang on a second. He was born March 23rd, 1979, so he'll be 37 going into next season.
Yeah, no shot. You got Rodon, the kid that blew us off 8 times for an interview from Vanderbilt, Corey Fulmer.
You know who he reminds me of?
Corey Fulmer?
Carson Fulmer.
Carson Fulmer.
He was on STL on Friday, though.
Oh, was he?
Got to talk to him about that.
There you go.
That was good.
Carson Fulmer, I think I called him Corey on Sports Talk Live yesterday.
Carson Fulmer reminds me of Turk Wendell. Go
Corey
ahead.
Corey Fulmer sounds like a defensive back in the NFL. You got Carson Fulmer, Carlos Rodon, Chris Sale, Jose Quintana. No.
Maybe you spin one of those guys. I'm a sentimental guy. Mark Burley deserves to be on the White Sox. Sure, it doesn't exactly make a whole lot of sense. But I think Burley's going to pitch into his 40s. Fastball, like Hawk was making comments, well, he's really much juiced up for it tonight, throwing 87, 88. By the way, the Fred Hoiberg, Bobby Portis, Steve Stone interview was some of the best television I've ever seen. It was so bad, it was good.
Steve Stone, Fred Hoiberg, Bobby Portis?
Yes.
Where was Hawk?
I don't know. He just departed. The game was completely irrelevant. It was just Stone with Hoiberg and Portis. I could have watched that over and over again.
Oh, this is awkward.
It was so awkward. Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, it was a beautiful thing. And that's no disrespect to anybody of those three involved. But it wasn't the most seamless David Kaplan perfection interview that television has ever seen. Bobby wasn't... He wasn't super comfortable. Fred was very standard, and Stoney was trying to drag something out.
312-235-2525. By the way, you know the whole umbrella thing?
Yeah.
I'm with Bobby Stinson on Twitter. He says, in my humble opinion, men with umbrellas are pansies. Hashtag suck it up buttercup. I didn't bring an umbrella. I was on the red line in a suit yesterday. It's raining. I didn't have an umbrella. Soft.
Okay. All right. That is maybe the most ridiculous thing you've ever said. Considering
I'm with Bobby Stinson.
You just walk in the rain. David Kaplan, the most prepared person ever, who never wants to be uncomfortable, who turns on his car 3 hours before the show's over, so it's like of perfect temperature when you get out there. And by the way, from the 773, lay off, Mark. I'm 48 and don't own an umbrella and never have. I also don't own a waterproof jacket except a ski jacket. I'm an athlete. I dodge raindrops. That guy I can believe in. I mean, he's dodging raindrops. You, sir, are a little bit past your prime, and you're going to get wet. And you like to be – and you can't have that wetness with that bald head of yours. It's going to go right down into your eyes. You won't be able to see.
Oh, please.
You need an umbrella.
No, I'm good.
I guarantee in your
– I'm good. The only time I can ever see myself using an umbrella is on the golf course.
Imagine that one. Dave Kaplan with his 5-iron and his umbrella as he's walking
trying to keep the clubs dry.
Oh, okay. Okay. I guarantee there's an umbrella in your car. If we sent Rooney down there right now.
You sent Rooney down there right now, guarantee you there's not.
We could find some other things of over-preparation that you have in your vehicle. You probably got a cloth to wipe things down. You've got, like, leather.
I actually have a Gatorade towel.
Yeah. What's
that
for?
I keep in the car, so in case I eat in the car, I don't get it on me. That's the only reason.
So you're driving down the road, you got a Gatorade out of your shirt collar?
No, I have them on my lap.
You just go Gatorade on the lap.
Yeah.
Am I really getting dogged for using
using
an umbrella in the rain?
You're soft.
That can't be true.
You're soft. Tim McCarver with some very strong, ridiculous comments on John Lester, who only took a no-hitter into the 7th yesterday. Anyway, we will talk about those. We'll discuss. We will also talk about Don Cooper's revelation that I had heard about. He confirmed yesterday. on Sports Talk Live about Mark Burley. You'll want to hear those. 9 a.m. hour sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. ABT, go to their website, apt.com. Ask for our buddy, the great Steve Shapiro. 312-235-2525. Take the time out. We'll come right back to this. Jim and Streeter has a move for the Cubs, and it's not even a big move, but he likes the move. We'll get your thoughts on what both teams should be doing. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
He has one no-hitter to his credit, 2008, against the Kansas City Royals.
Bryant just able to knock it down. The ball goes into foul territory, and that will be the Cardinals' first hit. So Johnny Peralta has broken up a couple of these now this year.
That's the best he's thrown the baseball all year. From observation perspective, his stuff was outstanding. Everything was working. Fastball, cutter, curveball, command, in the zone, great rhythm. Everything was really, really good.
Jolton Joe Madden, the highlight courtesy of WGN Television. Cubs and Cards double dip today, weather permitting. 12:20, first pitch game one, 7:05 tonight game two, a day-night double dip. I'll have the post game on the second with Todd Hollinsworth. 312-235-2525. Our show brought to you by Horwitz and Horwitz Law. They are outstanding lawyers.
Couple from the text line, 773 on the Mark Burley.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see the Cubs trade for Burley if Toronto sells off. He would make sense on the north side.
Yeah, I would have no problem with that one.
I mean, he'd fit right in. You need pitching. I'd take Mark Burley
in a second if
I were the Chicago Cubs. And yet,
ground ball guy, yeah. Take him in a second.
It would be phenomenal. And by the way, they're from the other, a different 773, from the south side perspective, you can get him on a club-friendly deal if he really wants to finish his career wearing black. Guy's made a ton of dough. Maybe if he wants...
Sox wouldn't have room for him.
They could find room for Mark Burley. If Mark Burley really wants to say, hey, listen, I'll come back for half of what I... $5, $6, $7, $8 million to play for the White Sox, finish off his career, bring that
on a team with a budget. You're not spending $5, $6, $7, $8 million.
That's nothing.
When you've already got Sale, Quintana,
Rodon,
Carson Fulmer.
Easy on Carson Fulmer. We'll see.
Well, they drafted him in the first round, number 9 overall.
Looks like a reliever to me. We'll see.
Oh, really? Where'd you get your scouting degree?
I watched him pitch. High effort, high maximum guy. I think he's going to fit nice in the pen. That's my guess on a Carson Fulmer. I know that that's not perhaps what they're hoping for, but he looks like a reliever to me.
Also,
I'm not ready to slot him in the rotation yet, Cappy.
The White Sox playing better baseball. Can they continue to climb back into this thing? Look, I don't think they're getting back in the race. I don't. But they're 5.5 back of a lot of teams in the wild card, and they are – you know, way up the track in the AL Central. I just don't see them stringing it together. They haven't even got back to 500 yet.
A lot of time, man. And they also, if they were to pull off a miracle and get back in it, and that's a huge if, but let's just say they did, and then you actually made it to a wild card game, I'd like their chances with Chris Sale on the mound.
No question.
Right?
Chris Pennant, by the way, on Twitter, says, Cap, I believe the players on the White Sox think they can get back in this thing. Something in their body language. I think down deep, sure, their pros are going to keep battling. I think down deep they're like, look, we're too big a hole. He says, we just disagree. It's cool. Well, so, we'll see.
Adam Eaton, grinder. Give Melky Cabrera credit. Seems like he's grinding. Avisail Garcia leaping up, making a play.
Guys are playing hard.
They're playing. Long season, man. Long, long season. And you've got, I mean, which of the teams in front of the White Sox, and I don't want to get too crazy here with them getting back in the race. I'm just telling you, I like the energy that's going on over there right now. Which teams in front of them do you look at like, oh, my God, they're going to run away with it? The Minnesota Twins? It doesn't – there's really – I mean, when you're talking about that second wild card team, it's a 500 to 6-8 game over you know, that's who's going to be there. It's not a great team. Can the White Sox get hot and do it? I mean, I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't – listen, if I'm Rick Hahn, I'm playing out the month. That's for sure. Let's see what happens. And they're this, and they're the third from the bottom of the league at 37-43. But you're talking about the Twins at 44-39. That's a five-game over team. Could they get to five over? I don't think that's completely inconceivable. I really don't. And the Orioles, the Tigers, Miggy's out, the Rays, the Blue Jays, the Rangers – the Indians, the Red Sox.
You're counting on every one of those teams coming back to you while you go by them.
No, listen, I don't think anybody needs to come back to anybody. I think they're all going to sit right where they're at. It's about the White Sox getting hot. Can they get hot and string together 10 to 12? Can they do something along those lines?
At John Wayne Vasey on Twitter, that's an interesting one, Joey says, what would you think of the Sox making a move for Jonathan Lucroy or maybe a Ben Zobrist to replace Sanchez? Two gaping holes filled. Yeah, those would be two nice pieces to get. The big question is, are you going to re-sign Zobrist? And what are you giving up to get Lucroy, who's in catching so hard to find, and to get Ben Zobrist? They don't have anything to give up.
I'm not making any moves to add on. If you get to 500, if you're just a 500 team, you're two back.
What are they down? How many are they under 500 now?
Six under. You got a home stand here. You're playing the Cubs over the weekend, which will be a fun series. There's a long way to go before the All-Star, before the end of July. Let's just see what happens here, and then you can spin off whoever you're going to spin off. But it's not like they have some huge parts that they're going to move. I mean, everybody says, oh, trade Chris Sale and rebuild the team. You're not trading Chris Sale under any circumstance. He's signed to maybe the best contract in all of baseball.
Correct.
And he's one of the top five players in the game. You're not trading that guy, period. You got Toronto for three more, and you got the Cubs coming. And then you got the break, and then we'll see what happens. So I'm shockingly optimistic on the White Sox right now. I did not see 5 or 6 coming. Beating St. Louis twice, taking 2 or 3 from Baltimore is ahead of you in the standings, and now you're playing the Blue Jays, and you won a game last night where you were down late, which they haven't done this year at all. I'm willing to ride it out a little bit if I'm Rick Hahn, who you had on yesterday on Sports Talk Live, and said the same thing.
Yeah, which not ready to make that decision.
Which is, people want to jump ahead. And I know that you get more value when you trade guys early because they're there for more games, but it's not like you're sitting with all these chips that you want to move.
All right, 312-235-2525. We'll get Jerry in the West Loop first, then Jim and Streeter. We'll talk Cubs and Sox. Jerry in the West Loop, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Cap, how you doing?
What's up, pal?
I watch all your shows. You okay with me? I watch all your shows.
Thanks,
yesterday,
buddy.
Last week, and I'm sorry that Hal is not in, last week, the media in Chicago, not just you guys, you criticized Kenny Williams for making those comments that the buck stopped here, I'm the buck. Yesterday,
That wasn't what I criticized more. I criticized Kenny for saying Rick hasn't graduated to that level. It was a condescending remark.
But what did Rick say to you? Rick say, he's my boss.
Correct.
Right now, all you guys got bosses. If it's not it is your boss that pay you, your wife is your boss too. All you guys have bosses. Your boss say this, that, and you tell him, hey, you can't talk like that. I guarantee you don't have to worry about having a boss. Rick Hahn told you guys yesterday, and I heard you ask him. He said, hold a minute. Let's go with this here. Kenny Williams is my boss. He has a right to say that. To me, I didn't know myself but until I watched your interview, and I'm like, okay, I understand. But what did you guys have to say about that?
I appreciated what Rick had to say. I did. I thought he was honest. He understood it. But I can tell you, there is no way he was pleased with the tone of the remark that Rick hasn't graduated to that level. It just came off wrong. I would tell Kenny if he was sitting here, yeah, you're the boss, but it just came off condescending.
One thing about Kenny Williams, he is loyal as hell to Jerry Reinsdorf. He probably is Jerry Reinsdorf's most loyal employee. Believe me, before he said that, Reinsdorf knew it. Kenny Williams, he was going to fight Frank Thomas over Reinsdorf. This guy loves Reinsdorf, and I think Reinsdorf have a love for him too. They're awful tight, but Kenny Williams don't make mistakes with the White Sox, not if it will embarrass Reinsdorf. And you know that, Cap. You know that.
Jerry, have a great day. Appreciate the call. Babe. See you, babe. There he is, Jerry in the West Loop. Good, loyal listener.
Yeah, my opinion, the comments were overblown. Sully was on Sports Talk Live on Friday when you were off with Chuck Garfine, and it was his interview, and he was shocked that it blew up the way it did, and that when Kenny was actually talking to him, he really didn't think much of it. And, I mean, I think Kenny said it in a kind of a fun, joking way. He really wasn't trying to demean Rick Hahn. That was not his intent. Even though I think the way it reads is a little
harsh.
It's a lot, but that was not the tone. So I don't think there's any real problem between Rick Hahn and Kenny.
I don't think there's any problem.
Right. So at the end of the day, I mean, that's really where it sits, right?
This is Rick Hahn yesterday on Sports Talk Live.
Kenny Williams is my boss. He's the person I report to. He has authority over what I do, just like any boss in any situation. We obviously have Jerry Reinsdorf is a very involved and hands-on owner, and the communication between us three has been very strong through the last 3 years that I've been the general manager, as well as the 12 years leading up to that period of time. So it's a collaborative effort around here, and what we do is we meet and we talk and we try to get up with the best solution for the organization. So I actually missed some of the back and forth. Sounds like I might have been entertained by it if I had been in town, but I can't say that it really things operate today the same as they had for the last few years under my stewardship as general manager.
There you go.
And does that sound the least bit disingenuous at all?
No, not at all. Right. And I'm saying that there's no problem between them. I just, Kenny, that comment caught a lot of people as condescending.
If you want to focus on a comment recently that's just off, it doesn't make sense when they start talking about this 3-year window that they're under right now, and we're not going to vary from that right now. It's like, I don't get 3-year windows, 5-year windows, 2-year windows.
Well, I don't believe that deep down they thought they could win with this team. There's too many holes there.
Ooh, I don't know. They were super aggressive in trying to get things done. I think they're shocked by where they're at right now. They didn't think that Melky would pitch.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they thought they would be where they're at, tied for dead last. But I don't think you could look at that team and go, that team can win a World Series. No shot.
I was optimistic on the White Sox coming into the year.
All right.
But maybe I was smoking something, I guess. Samardzija and Sale at the top, along with everything else, I thought they'd be right there.
All right, let's go to Jim at Streeter. Hey, Jim, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Last Saturday, for some crazy reason, I turned the White Sox game on.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawks was talking about the young outfielders that Orioles had, and he said that they had sent Delmon Young down to the minor leagues. I think they designated him
for assignment, actually.
Okay, well, Hawks said that, you know, he would be a good fit with the Cubs as a fourth outfielder or, you know, a pinch hitter in that. What do you think about that?
Well, he's got an on-base percentage this year of .289, which is awful. 2 home runs, 16 RBIs, and he hit .270. I have no need for Delmon Young. I mean, what does he do well? If you're looking for somebody that's a run producer, he drove in 16 runs so far this year, 30 last year, 38 the year before, 38 the year before that. So he's not a run producer. I need a run producer.
Okay.
Not a big fan of that move. Thanks, though, Jim. Appreciate the call, buddy. 312-235-2525. You want Delmon Young?
You want to take a flyer on Delmon Young, great. But when you're picking up guys that just got released, I mean, you're hoping for a miracle.
Well, you did that with Jim Edmonds in 08, and it worked out pretty well.
It did. It can happen. I'm not saying it's impossible, but the odds are that you're not getting much.
Hey, for weeks, you've been hearing me talking about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice and ordered yourself a MyPillow yet? A lot of you tweeting at me your orders. MyPillow is the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. Absolutely no risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights. If you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. They refund 100% of your purchase price. That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is here. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out. See where they've sold over 5 million. Act this week. MyPillow, 50% off all products. Promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on, MyPillow.com, promo code K-A-P. Or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. That's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code KAP for 50% off. 312-235-2525. Crane Kenny joins us in about 15 minutes. Find out what's going on with the Cubs, with the stretch. Hot Dogs is now selling sausages up at the ballpark in the bleachers. 312-235-2525. Get to your calls as well. Joe and Midlothian and more. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Another 0-2 from Lackey. Up the middle, off the foot. John Lester with his first major league hit. It doesn't drive in a run, but it keeps the inning alive. That was the last start or two starts ago. He hit that ball sharply up the middle. The base runner was moving. It drew the shortstop to the base. Took away a hit. There's number one. A big ovation.
Coming, it's nice, but at the same time, it's something that, you know, you can't really enjoy right now. You know, the losses, like I've always said, I mean, you get a hit and that's awesome, but you lose the game, it really doesn't matter.
Feels like the first time.
John Lester, the call, Len Casper on WGN television last night. Lester's first career hit, 1-for-67 now in his career. Hit the ball hard. They even ran a hit and run with him later in the ball game, and he moved a runner over. So interesting stuff. The Cubs lose 6-0. Lester took a no-no into the seventh. A hard hit ball down the third baseline that Chris Bryant can't come up with. The first hit, and then a ground ball to Bryant. Should be a double play to clear out the bases. Instead, he throws it into right field.
Or at bare minimum, should have made sure he was getting one. Just make a solid throw to second, get the out. He seemed like he short-armed it. It was just an awkward play. The play that before, which broke up the no-hitter, that was a tough play. I mean, that would have been an incredible backhand and deep throw if he was actually going to keep the no-hitter intact. So I don't think you can blame him for that. But there are moments in time where you look at Chris Bryant and think, yeah, I don't know about that third base for you, sir. He takes an awful long time to get rid of the baseball, that's for sure. Hop, hop.
I still think he'll end up as an outfielder long term.
Which probably is not going to make him super happy, but athletically, he certainly is going to be able to do it. I thought that Lester deserved a clean single there. That ball was ripped up the middle. I mean, it worked out that he got a base hit, and if it hadn't been deflected, he would have had an RBI as well, right?
He would have had an RBI.
Yep.
Correct.
And I like Joe Maddon going hit and run on an 0-0 count with John Lester. Getting Dexter Fowler, I believe, was on base at the time, moving. You go, Joe.
That was good.
You got to. I mean, when you're as challenged offensively as the Cubs are, you got to shake
it
up.
Okay, now how about the play by Colton Wong at second on the rocket by Castro?
That's why they're the Cardinals.
Yeah.
That's when you're watching. Like, you knew Starlin was hitting into a double play, though. If you didn't think Starlin was hitting into a double play, I don't know what team you've been watching. Of course, Montero strikes out. And here's Starlin. Where is it going to be? Is he going to roll over?
But he did a nice job spoiling pitchers' pitches and then hit one on the screws, and it wasn't like right at him.
Right. No, he had a good at-bat, and he hit the ball hard.
He did.
But that, of course, that's what happened. Of course, that's what happened.
Yeah. He got cubbed.
He was cubbed, and it's frustrating. You just can't beat him. And Lester, to his credit, too, after the game, I thought he could have enjoyed his hit a little bit more than he did, but he was in such a, you know, down mood because they had lost. Today he's tweeting out about the hit and having a little more fun with it and positive, let's play two today, that whole scene. John Lester does a great job on Twitter. But, you know, he said it last night. How come the Cardinals have your number? They're a better team.
And
that's why.
That's what he said.
Yeah, they're a better team.
And Tim McCarver last night, critical of John Lester, saying something to the effect, hold on, let me bring it up here. The Jackal sent me this article this morning. Cubs pitch is on CBSSports.com. Cubs pitcher John Lester definitely has issues throwing to first base or any base other than home plate, a mental block of some sort. He's tried just one pickoff attempt this season, just once. It's April 2013. All three that he's tried over the last three seasons have gone awry. And he surpassed his career high for stolen bases allowed in a season Monday night against the Cardinals. It's definitely an issue. But to hear St. Louis Cardinals analyst Tim McCarver talk, you think Lester's weakness keeping runners close was ruining his career. Cardinals beat the Cubs 6-0. He said, Let's see. Partner Dan McLaughlin said that some close to the Cubs think Lester's putting too much pressure on himself and trying to live up to the $155 million contract he signed in the offseason. Well, you know, Danny, I think that would be a valid argument if it weren't for the fact that as far as throwing to first base, he didn't do that last year either, not once. So it was there last year. You don't know when it started, how it started. Some things that we report, Dan, they're tough to report. You know, you don't know how much psychiatric help John's had trying to get through this thing. It's not real pretty to see, I've got to tell you. Errors are one thing, but when you know that a guy's having the inner turmoil and problems mentally to play this game, it's tough.
So he just called him out on having psychiatric problems?
Right. Lester has a 3.48 ERA this season. His career ERA, 3.59. So he's better there.
Wait, read that psychiatric part again. How did he exactly say it?
He said, I mean, errors are one thing. He said, you don't know how much psychiatric help John's had trying to get through this thing. It's not real pretty to see, I've got to tell you. I mean, errors are one thing. But when you know that a guy's having the inner turmoil problems mentally to play this game, it's tough. You look at his numbers, let's see, career ERA is 340, career is 359 this year, 348. 101 strikeouts and 103 in the third innings, better than his career mark per nine innings. Velocity's fine. He's putting more runners on base than usual, but that number's coming down. He's 38th in wins above replacement. Not elite, but Matt Harvey, who we all think's elite, is 35th. Felix Hernandez is 30th. He needs to help. He needs work to get holding runners on, but he's won two World Series. So, Tim McCarver, you're whack, bro. Whack.
It's a little out of bounds when you start
with the psychiatric stuff.
Yeah, I mean, has Lester ever talked about that he's gone and seen a therapist?
No.
Right. So, is he even accurate there? We really don't know. And if he has, it certainly is not Tim McCarver.
And he looked pretty good last night when he took a no-no into the seventh.
Right.
Did you think the ball that they gave up, the first hit that went off Bryant's glove, should have been a hit or an error?
No, a hit. Absolutely.
That's what I thought. And people around me, including my wife, go, that's an error.
No, that ball.
And I went, no, that ball was smoked.
Yeah. I was listening to some Pat Hughes last night. Mm-hmm. The way that hit was described, it's like, oh my God, I was down. I thought that Bryant had blown it, but then watching, there's no way that ball was smoked. And the other side of it, too, is talking about people taking shots, and Pat did it in a very professional, but Pat Hughes way, but he pointed out Colton Wong, another stolen base, had an 18-foot lead. I mean, guys are just taking that. St. Louis is smart. That's Lester's weakness. You get on base, you can take an enormous lead, and he'll stare at you, but most likely he's not throwing over. And they are more aggressive in the NL, and of course he's coming over from the American League.
I would love to see the next start where he's set, he looks, boom, over to first and pick a guy off.
And what happens if it ends up in the stands?
It is what it is.
Okay, well.
Take a shot.
I mean, he tried.
He's going to end up in second anyway.
He tried it early in the year, and he threw a rainbow into the right field bullpen.
I remember that.
I mean, it was pretty ugly.
Sale Lester on Saturday.
Wow.
It's going to be pretty awesome.
That'll be a hot ticket.
I might have to watch that from Europe.
No. No.
What do you mean no?
No. 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 You're off the grid. Do not.
I'm going on vacay on Thursday.
Yeah, you're off the grid. You're not pulling up in some internet cafe in the Vatican and making Melinda, who's got your whole schedule timed down to the minute, as you've reported.
Yeah.
You're not saying we're stopping for the next 2 hours to watch Sale and John Lester duel it out in a July Cubs Sox game. No.
Why?
Just no. You go. You can check for the score later. That's all you get to do. I know that you can. And along the lines of what Tim McCarver was just speaking on, as far as psychiatric issues, just be on vacation. You don't need to watch Cubs and Sox baseball when you're in Rome or wherever you're at that part of your journey. You're not going down some in Venice down the old beautiful canals. Let me get my iPad out so I can watch Johnny Lester.
Honey, look at that right there. That's the statue of David. What? Lester just struck out Abreu.
I respect it though, Cappy. You do have your love.
I do have my love. And absolutely. Hold on. Hey, coming up today on Sports Talk Live, 5:30, we'll be at Wrigley Field, live. Sportsnet Central tonight, 6:30. Cubs, Cardinals at 7. Blue Jays and White Sox tonight at 6:30 on CSN+. All right?
Awesome.
312-235-2525. Joe Midlothian, hang in. We'll get to you. Crane Kenny's going to join us, the president of business operations for the Chicago Cubs. And Kevin Hall brought to you by the fine folks at Horwitz and Horwitz Law. We'll be right back.